I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
A mirror. There is a way by which you can escape from your own deceptions, from your own deceptive perception of yourself, from your own deceptive ideas about yourself. Look, the Bible says every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Can you believe that?
That's right.
It says as long as he's looking at it from his own eyes, every way of a man is right.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine that? Wow. It means there will never be a day when you will voluntarily tell yourself you're wrong.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah, dial him.
Yes. Unless you don't own the way. But if it is your way, if it is your idea, the Bible says every way of a man is right. I wish you would have brought us up the scripture. Who is doing this tonight? Leo? Or who is that? Let me show you that verse. This is in the book of Proverbs. It says, every way of a man. Every way of a man. I'll find it. Right.
It's up there.
You found it? Okay. Every way of a man is what?
Right.
It's right in his own eyes. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Every way of a man is right. So everything that a person does to him is justified. To him, it is good. To him, it is the right thing. To him, it is the right thing to do. That is why it is so difficult to get people sometimes to accept they're wrong. Do you understand? Yes, to accept they're wrong. Even people who are very obviously guilty of a crime, even people who were caught in the act, when they go to court, when they caught, they plead not guilty.
That one.
Yes. That's where they start from. Because the way the justice system works, the onus is on the accuser or the prosecutors to prove beyond reasonable doubt that I did it. Right. Mm-hmm. So whether I did it or not, I don't have the burden to come and say I did it. You know, somebody must successfully prove that I did it. So everybody goes to court and their starting point is I didn't do it. Even with the knife in his hand, he says I didn't do it. You know, and then you start from there. But it is because we are self-justifying beings. You see? And we continue to justify ourselves. We continue to rationalize and we justify the things we do. And so if you are relying on yourself, relying on you to tell you that you need to change, that you need to do something about yourself, that you need to do something about your life, that what you are doing is wrong. If you are relying on you to see that, then the news tonight is that it will never happen.
Preach!
It will never happen. It will never happen. Wow. So then you are trapped and you've entered the self-deception syndrome, which is that you will continuously deceive yourself. And you deceive yourself in the morning, you deceive yourself in the afternoon, you deceive yourself in the evening. You deceive yourself on Wednesday, you deceive yourself on Friday, you deceive yourself on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You deceive yourself in America, you deceive yourself when you travel to London. Because you, the deceiver, is always traveling with you. The deceived.
Yeah.
You get it? So the deceiver and the deceived are merged together and they're always together just deceiving themselves. That is it.
You are preaching good.
What a shock.
Our deliverance is in the mirror, which is the Amen. Word of God. You see,
right.
So the Bible says that if we are, you know, James, the book of James, it says that if we are hearers of the word, you see, hearers of the word, James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Can you see that? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Right? Then look at the next verse. The next verse. Next verse, please. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You see, he's like a man beholding his natural face. Natural face means the way you really are. Do you get it? Not his made-up face. Not his made for the public face. Not his most presentable face. Not his face that is prepared for showing to the public. No. But his natural face. Your natural face is the way you look when you wake up in the morning. That's the natural face. You get it? And some of us, those of us who have these phones that answer to our face, you notice that sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you do this, your phone cannot recognize you. Does it happen to you? Raise up your hand.
Yeah, sure.
You see, your phone,
not recognized.
Your phone says it's not you.
They wake.
Yeah.
I'm gone off.
You see, because the whole person is so changed. That's your natural face. That's your, so even your phone has been deceived by you. Do you see?
Yes. Mercy.
doesn't know who the real you are. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So bring back the verse. Bring back the verse. It says, you're like a man looking at his natural face in a glass. That's in a mirror, right? In a glass. And then what's the next verse? 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Do you see? Yes, he looks at himself and he goes away and he's forgotten totally what manner of man he was. In other words, he's forgotten what the mirror said. Now, what we're saying is that the mirror is the way, the mirror is the word of God, and that's how you get to see yourself as who you really, 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 really are. And your daily quiet times with the Lord, those moments with the Lord, those moments by yourself, just between you and the Lord, away from people who are always telling you good things and who are always singing your praises. Do you see? Mm-hmm. Because somehow society feels obliged to say nice things to each other. There are certain things when you say, even if they are the truth, people frown upon it. They just feel it's not a nice thing to say. I mean, you've heard that.
Yeah.
You must have heard that statement before. This is not a nice thing to say. Nobody even cares about whether it's true or not. Do you get it right? It's like, even if it's true, it's about the saying of it. It's about the saying of it. It's not about whether it's a fact or not. It's like, no, you shouldn't be saying such a thing. Okay? So you're allowed to think it, but you're not allowed to say it. Do you see? Yeah. Now, you find that many of us are actually deceived, but the word of God shows us who we really, 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 really are, our very raw self, in the privacy of your times, your quiet times with the Lord. You can look into the mirror, you can look into the word of God and see what it says about you, and embrace what it says about you, and accept what it says about you. Do you see? And then you can begin to look forward to changing, right? Let's read that scripture again. Bring the passage back, James chapter 1 from verse 22, and let's read maybe New Living Translation, I think. New Living Translation may work for us. Let's give that a try. Okay. He says, and remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. Can you hear that? He says, remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. You get it? Now, yeah. if you don't obey, you are only fooling yourself.
Forgive.
So even what I'm sharing, this preaching, remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to.
All right.
Yes.
And if you don't obey, you are only fooling yourself. Look, by all means, keep the scripture there, don't change the screen. By all means, try not to be the one fooling yourself. Do you understand? Yes, because there's no blessing in fooling yourself. You will not get anything from fooling yourself. You can't take yourself to court. You can't fire yourself. You know, so if you allow yourself to fool yourself, that's free fooling.
Oh,
yes.
You get it? That's free fooling with no repercussions. So try very hard not to deceive yourself. Okay, 23. For if you just listen, and don't obey, it is like looking at your face in a mirror. If you just listen and don't obey, it is like looking at your face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance. You see, yes, if you just listen and don't obey, it is like looking at your face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance, right? And verse 24, it says, you see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But verse 25 says, but if you keep looking steadily into God's perfect law, the law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Hallelujah. God Amen. Will bless you for doing it. Now, let's start reading it from the bottom of the verse. God will bless you for doing it. How many want God to bless you? Tell me. How many want God to bless you?
I want
you?
To.
Just wave your
I
hand.
Want to.
Good. You want God to bless you? Then how can you get God to bless you? He says, if you look, keep looking steadily, you keep looking steadily. You have a Bible reading regiment. Do you understand? You have a spending time with God habit. You know, a habit where you spend some time by yourself, off your Amen. Phone, off your phone, off your tablet, off your MacBook, off your Windows device, off your Windows, whatever, off your Android, whatever you have, off any of these things, and spend the time with God. And I think you can do
Amen.
It. I believe
Amen.
You can do it. I believe you can do it.
You
I mean,
can do it.
None of us, you see, we must all resent being controlled by this small device. Do you understand? Yes. We must all resent the fact that we cannot live without this small device. There are times when you need to put it away just to prove to yourself that you can live without it. You guys are really quiet now.
Preach!
Amen.
But I'm saying that it's important for you to be able to prove to yourself, do you see, that this new reflex you have acquired, do you see, this new reflex you have acquired, you can break away from it.
Yes.
You can break away from it.
Yes, you can.
That's right.
You can break away from it. Yes. That you can spend time with the Lord. You can be away from your phone. Right? I think if you have the noise, maybe you can mute your Yeah, Elpak, please help me find who is making that sound, and then you can mute that person. Okay. All right. Please, I hope you're understanding what I'm sharing with you tonight.
Yes.
Yeah?
We get it.
You can do it, right? And as we look into the perfect law of liberty, we are liberated from deception, especially self-deception, which to me is the most serious kind of deception. You know, the one where you are the source of the lies you believe. You are the source of the lies you're telling yourself. You are the one who is deceiving yourself about who you really are. And the word of God will reveal that to you. Can I have an amen? Now,
amen.
In the book, here, we can see a clear example of the prophet Isaiah, right? Isaiah thought he was very good, you see. And you see that in a number of verses and how he talks. He used to preach, and all his preaching was woe unto others. You know, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. And you see that in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, mostly, you can see him preaching strongly a series of woes, right? A series of woes. It says in verse 11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Right? So this is Isaiah preaching against people who drink. It says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. They may follow things that influence them. Do you see? Yes. Today, a lot of people don't drink, or a lot of people who are saved don't have this problem, but they are still under some other influence. Something that controls you, that directs your steps right from when you wake up. And one of them is the phone. Phone is the new alcohol, is the new thing people are addicted to. And very soon you'll see people going to rehab centers for to get treatment. You see, it will soon give birth to a new profession where you have psychologists and, you know, experts who help to people to break addiction to phones and devices. You see, so if you are looking for the next level profession, I just suggested one to you, because very soon people will be needing that. Right. Another one, it says, woe, verse 18, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were with a cart rope, right? Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It says, woe unto them that call evil good. So people who celebrate evil when the thing is wrong and you say it's right, you say it's good. Like the brother, I forget his name, but I saw the brother in the film Stars who was trying to get the lady to fornicate with him, and he was calling evil good. Do you see? If Isaiah was there, Isaiah wouldn't have spared him at all. You can... Do you see? Yeah. So the Bible says, woe to such people. You are in trouble. Okay. Now, another one is woe to them that are wise in their own eyes. This is verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in your own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You are wise in your own eyes and you are prudent in your own sight. You are clever by your own standards. Do you see? Yeah, and there are some people like that. They feel they are smarter than everybody. They feel they are more clever than everyone. They have the best brains. They are the best at everything. They are the smartest guys in the room all the time. You know, and Isaiah was preaching, I tell you, fiery messages to all these people. It says, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. That is, this is 22, Isaiah 5 and 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. So here he's preaching to people who feel they have drinking skills and capacity.
Hey.
You see, yeah, people who can boast about how many beers they can drink, you know, how much of alcohol they can take and still say, stay relatively sober compared to others. You know, Isaiah had a message for all these people, right? Then it says, one day God decided to reveal himself to Isaiah. Isaiah was shocked when his real condition was revealed by God. All it took was one glimpse of God in his glory, and immediately Isaiah was delivered from his delusions. He changed his message at once, and this time he said, woe is unto me. He no longer said, woe is unto them, right? And that's Isaiah chapter 6. In chapter 5, he's preaching all these woes. Then in chapter 6, when he has an encounter with the Lord, in verse 5, it says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Now, so this encounter that leads to a revelation of your true self. Do you see the encounter at the bottom? It says, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I have had a real encounter, a real personal encounter with the Lord of hosts. Now, that encounter suddenly directs your attention from people to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start to see what is wrong with you. That's when you begin to know you. That's when you begin to deliver you from the things that plague your life. That's when you begin to free yourself from your self-deception. Hallelujah. Right? It says, as we correct people and see other people's faults all the time, may God help us to see our own failings. May we see ourselves the way God sees us. Do not be impressed by what people say to you. Do not receive the flattery of human beings. What is highly esteemed in the sight of men is often an abomination in the sight of God. Right? And Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So watch out, especially if all men highly esteem you, then you should understand that the implication is that you are gradually becoming an abomination unto God. Hallelujah. And when we spend time with God, God will reveal us to us. Hallelujah. God will show us who we really are. It says in the last paragraph, it says, we are so subject to delusions and deceptions that we need a regular input of the Word of God in our lives. I cannot overemphasize the need for regularity for the ministration of the Word of God in our lives. Only a quiet time can give you the regular input that is needed for a constant deliverance from deception. Only a quiet time with meditation and spending time with the Lord all by yourself will give you that opportunity for self-revelation and to know who you really are. Honestly, I realize that the closer people get to God, the more humble they become and the more of sinners they begin to see themselves as. The more conscious they become of sin, and the more they feel a great need to confess their sins. You see that they feel a great need. Every time when we have flow service, and then the prophet brings up, let us pray for our sins. Let us pray for our sins. You know, I'm beginning to see that, you know, that's one of the signs that he's close to God. You see, That's one of the signs, because the closer you get to God, you start to be conscious. The further you are from God, the more you feel like there's nothing wrong with you. That's why unbelievers don't even see a need to go to God at all. You get it? That's people who are furthest from God, people who are not saved, non-believers, they don't even see a need for God at all. They mock and they laugh at people. They laugh at people who go to church and people who believe in God. Do you see? Yeah. It's unfortunate. But may God have mercy on their souls and save them. Amen. Now, the next thing, are you blessed by that point?
Yes.
Okay.
We're being blessed already.
The next thing is that a daily quiet time will give great spiritual growth. Okay? A daily quiet time will give great spiritual growth. Great spiritual growth. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible talks about growing. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Okay, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Well, so this passage is telling us that growth comes from the word. Growth, or the word, produces growth. It produces spiritual growth. The word of God will make you grow. Reading your Bible every day, spending time, having a quiet time will lead to spiritual growth. Okay. The other verse that relates, you know, the word to eating is Matthew 4:4, you know, where the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So the word of God is compared to bread, it's compared to eating. Do you see? That proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So as you keep reading the word, it's a form of eating. Reading the Bible, having quiet time, is a form of eating. Okay. Then the third verse is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Okay. Talks about meat this time. Talks about strong meat. It says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Do you see? So he's saying that your need to be taught is comparable to a need to drink milk instead of needing to eat strong meat. Do you see? Whichever one of the two cases applies to anyone, the reality is that receiving the word of God is being compared with receiving food, something to eat that makes you strong. Now, if that is the case, if receiving the word of God, if engaging the word of God is similar in effect to engaging food, natural food and milk for that matter, then it means that their effects are similar. Okay? It means their effects are similar. Now, one of the things that starvation produces in people is leanness. Okay? We see it on television all the time. When they are showing us places where there's hunger, every place where there's hunger, you see that people don't look very well nourished. People look famished, they look lean, they look sick because they are hungry. Do you see? When people don't have food to eat, that's if they don't have meat or milk, then in the natural, they begin to show those signs on their bodies. Okay, now the spiritual equivalent also must be true. That is why God draws a parallel between eating and drinking milk on one hand, and then the word of God, receiving the word of God on the other hand. All right, so it means that going for days and days and days and days without the word of God, you see, produces a similar spiritual effect as going days and days and days without food or proper food has on the natural body. So every time you watch television or you see any of those feed the children adverts and so on, anytime you see them showing malnourished children and starving children and you see them, think about your soul. Imagine that that's what you look like in the realm of the spirit to the devil. Why? Because you've gone days and days and days and days and days without a personal encounter with the word. Okay? Yes, and it's true. And sometimes what those people are suffering from is not the total absence of food, but not enough food. Not enough food. Not enough food. And that's the more common type of starvation that we experience in the church. Because by all means, you'll be in church. You'll be in church on Wednesday and you'll be in church on Sunday. So you get something to eat.
Something.
Now imagine if in your real life you ate only on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Just imagine. imagine that you had dinner tonight and then the next meal is Sunday morning after the Healing Jesus service.
What a shock.
If that is your life, that would be unfortunate. It will still start to show. You will begin to be sick. You will have all kinds of diseases and complications. And I dare say that the reason why many Christians are diseased and are experiencing complicated symptoms is because of spiritual malnourishment.
Spiritual malnourishment.
That's right. And the lack of spiritual nutrition. A lot of people say the things they say because they don't know what the Bible says.
That's right.
People read and write all sorts of things on social media because they don't read the Bible.
Right.
You get it? They are not properly nourished. If you knew what the Bible said, you wouldn't talk like that.
That's right.
Do you see? Yes. And sometimes they are called pastors, they are called even bishops, they are called all sorts of things, but they are out there. The fact that you have those titles does not mean or is not a replacement. It does not guarantee or confer an automatic closeness with the word of God. No.
Preaching.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody who is called by any title that's exempt from eating? Like in my house, in my home, I'm called daddy. And so because I'm daddy, then I am exempt from having to eat to grow. Do you know anything like that? So the breakfast is for the children and lunch is for the children. And we, the spiritually mature ones, or we, the grown-ups, we just lay in bed and somehow buy some type of magical something. We just get full. Do you get it? Look, even when a man has a pot belly, he's not exempt from eating.
After all, that one.
You can ask them. You see, you can ask them. You can ask people with a belly whether they don't feel hunger. That the fact that you have a bulge, you get it, does not mean that you don't need to eat. Everybody needs to eat. If you're called pastor, you still need to eat. If you're called reverend, you still need to eat. If you're called bishop, you still need to eat. Whatever your title, no matter who you are, you still need the daily spiritual nourishment. Nobody is exempt from it. And anyone who lacks it will begin to show the same symptoms. You will show the same symptoms at your level. That's right. So you may be bigger than someone. You may be bigger a malnourished pastor will look a little better than, let's say, a member who is malnourished, because he will still know a couple of scriptures. But for your level and for who you are malnourished. Just like when a grown-up is lean. Do you see? When you have people who suffer from eating disorders, you see they are grown-ups, but they are all bones. When you put their all bones together and weigh them, they'll probably still weigh heavier than a baby. But it doesn't mean that they are not seriously malnourished and seriously sick.
They're preaching.
Yes.
That's true.
And many people who are talking and saying all sorts of things, especially people who criticize churches. Christians who criticize pastors and criticize churches and make it their business to criticize churches, and that's their whole mission. Their great commission is to criticize churches.
What a commission.
Many of such Christians, their real disease is malnourishment. They do not read the Bible. That's what it is. Yeah, they do not read the Bible. They are not getting enough spiritual food. If they got enough spiritual food, they will realize that they will need to concentrate on themselves. On themselves. When Jesus found people removing specks from people's eyes, he told them to mind their own business and to concentrate on removing beams from their eyes. You see, and I'm not surprised that he's saying that, because if you have a beam in your eye, it blinds you.
That's right.
Yes, it blinds you. So you may be talking loudly, but you don't even know what you're saying, because the beam is blinding you. So you need to get close to God. And as you spend time with God, God will reveal you to you. And it will result in spiritual growth, right? And we don't know how it happens. Nobody knows how it happens. But we just know that from day to day, as we eat and drink and eat and drink and eat and drink, we begin to acquire bodies that reflect and betray our eating and drinking habits.
Right.
True or false?
True.
True. People don't give us their menu sheets. People don't tell us what they eat. But we take one good look at them and we know what they've been up to.
Yeah.
What a shock.
In both directions. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
When we see people losing weight, we know they've been up to something. There's something wrong. When we see people gaining weight, we also know they are up to something. Do you see? Yes. At least ordinarily. Ordinarily. That's phase one diagnosis. I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you.
Okay.
So nobody knows exactly, or maybe we know, but nobody tracks exactly what happens. How your daily eating, the breakfast you ate today, the dinner you're eating tonight, you know, the effect it has on your body. It may not show tonight. It may not show in the morning. It may not show tomorrow afternoon, may not even show by Friday. But if you keep this habit going, there are some people who have a habit of eating a lot and going to bed. Do you see now? You get it? If you continue doing that, you wouldn't have to tell anybody that's what you've been doing.
That's right.
We know what
you get it. One day someone will see you and ask you if this is what you have been doing. Because it will be written all over you. Do you understand? Yes. Your body will take that shape. In the same way, spiritually, you know, if we keep this habit, if we acquire this habit, I read every day, I read the word every day. You may not see the effect in the morning.
Yeah.
You may not see it that afternoon. You may not see it that evening. You may not see it the next day or that weekend. But something is surely happening.
Something is happening to you.
Yeah.
Something is happening to you. Now, if something is happening to you, if you are changing spiritually, if you are growing spiritually, then the opposite must be true also. That all those absences from the spiritual table, all those skipping of spiritual meals, whether you feel it or not, it's having an effect on you.
Right.
Yes. Every day without the Bible is subtracting from your spiritual strength. You are not who you think you are. You are losing something. You may not see it happening, but it's happening. And suddenly one day it will show. And often the day it shows in the day of temptation. It's the day of temptation. That's when it shows. When you are deceived and when you fall flat, that's when everyone can tell that, oh, you were singing very loudly in the church. You used to dance all around the church. You used to pray the loudest, but you were totally empty.
That's it.
And the proof of it is that you have fallen flat right there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is the word making sense to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're being blessed.
So it says charismatic churches, that means churches of our kind, right? Charismatic churches are full of thousands of undeveloped spiritual babies. Undeveloped spiritual babies. Thousands of them, right? And he says, the pastors of today's charismatic churches are seen by their members as superstars who have the answers to everything. This is not the case. Perhaps we pastors enjoy having people depend on us. And that's unfortunate. You know?
Very unfortunate.
Yes. Maybe we pastors enjoy having people depend on us. But you should not have to be depending on your pastor for everything.
That's right.
There are some scriptures you should know yourself. There are some prayers you should be able to pray them yourself.
Yeah.
There are some things you should be able to do yourself.
Right.
So that your pastor can spend some time on new converts and new believers.
That's right.
And younger people. And perhaps the more complex issues of life.
Mm.
Not some basic things that a Christian of your caliber should know and should be able to deal with. Are you understanding the word of God? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
So it is very important. A quiet time will lead to great spiritual growth. Hallelujah. The last paragraph says, many Christians depend on a quick microwave snack from their pastor's Bible on Sunday morning.
Mm.
Is there any comparison between a child who has a balanced meal every day and someone who has a quick microwave 35-minute sermon snack every other week?
What a question.
Yeah. The person eats a microwaved 35-minute sermon snack every other week. And when they come to church, they want the pastor to close. They want the sermon to end now.
Ouch.
Okay.
They want fast food sermons.
Yeah. Sermons are the only thing we watch on screens and we can't wait for them to end. Everything else on a screen enjoys an opposite reaction from us.
Mm.
We are disappointed when it comes to an end. We don't want it to end. We want it to continue. We want more. We want more. We want it to continue. But messages that make us grow, those we just want them to end quickly. That's a shame. Hallelujah. Now, the next one,
Amen.
Next one quickly. I think we have time for one more. All right. So it says, A daily quiet time brings inner healing. A daily quiet time brings inner healing. And Psalm 107 and verse 20. Psalm 107 and verse 20. He says, He sent His word. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Amen. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. How did God deliver people from their destructions? He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their distractions. His Amen. Word. So a daily quiet time will eventually result in a complete healing of your life. The inner issues of your life will receive attention as you spend time daily with the Lord. Do you see? Yeah. The Word of God has a way of healing us of our pain and wounds. God will touch you where it hurts if you will allow Him. And God will heal you of every situation in your life. God will heal you of every situation in your life. Spiritual, emotional, and psychological problems are the most difficult to solve. Right? Yes. It says the diagnosis and treatment of spiritual, emotional, and psychological problems are one of the most difficult areas for medicine. Right? And this is coming from a doctor. He must know what he's talking about. It says, but God has a solution. God has a solution. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The solution is in His word. The solution is in His word. A daily dose of God's powerful word will bring healing to every inner wound, right? What did Jesus say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted. How was Jesus going to heal the brokenhearted? Through the word. Look at that verse in the book of Luke quickly. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Wow. Luke chapter 4 says, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, notice where it begins. His custom, habit. Okay? So as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. So it's the word. He was reading not some novel or magazine or something he found on the internet. I mean, reading CNN does not have this effect. It can't have this effect at all. That's not what He was doing. He was reading Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You see, He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that jumped out at me when I was reading this verse this afternoon is how it just dawned on me how much comes just out of preaching. Do you see? Exposure to the word. You see, you notice that it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Do you see? But notice that it is not only preaching of the gospel, or it's not only the gospel that must be preached. Do you see? But you see that the word also contains a solution for the brokenhearted. It says there is healing in that same assignment, in that same preaching. He's preaching the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And then he says to preach deliverance to the captives. That's very interesting, because many of us didn't know that deliverance can be preached. Yeah. Most of us think that deliverance calls for prayer. But Jesus says that he's anointed, you see, to cause people to receive and to experience deliverance, not from a prayer, but from preaching.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And I have noticed that a lot of people who are always running for deliverance and going to places for deliverance, and I believe in deliverance, and I believe in praying for people to be delivered. Sometimes some things are just too much for you. You just need help. It's like someone who is so sick, the ambulance just has to come and get him. Do you get it? But there are other people who are sick, but who can take their own medication. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes the sickness is so extreme, they need to put you on a stretcher. Someone else needs to carry you towards your healing. Do you see? So I believe in deliverance. But what I am saying is that people who always have to, or there are a lot of people who are always looking for deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. It's like someone who calls the ambulance because he has a headache. They just need to take Tylenol. They just need to take Tylenol, but they still call the ambulance. And when the ambulance man shows up outside, they just say, look, I've just been feeling a little headache this morning. Do you happen to have any Tylenol on your ambulance? You know, that's not how to use the ambulance.
No. Oh, yes. Not at all.
So there may be extreme cases where you may need and attract some kind of help from a higher authority, because there's hierarchy in the realm of the spirit.
Yeah.
Yes. There may be some times when you need that type of situation. But I tell you that the majority of believers who run from one deliverance minister to another deliverance minister to another deliverance minister, to what they really lack, what they really lack is their own exposure to the word. That's what is missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true.
That's what is missing. Their own personal exposure to the word. That's what is missing. If they will expose themselves to the word, if they will expose themselves even to preaching, good preaching from the Bible, where the thing is from the Bible and you can see the preaching in the Bible like we have in our church. Because in our church, there's a lot of Bible and preaching. That's what I love about our prophet, and I love that about being in our church. In fact, it was one of the things that drew me to this church, that there was a verse for everything.
Wow.
Yes. There was a verse for everything. And up to today, there's a verse for everything. If you like, tomorrow, during the flow prayers, just try. Write how many verses you read tomorrow. Just write. Every verse he opens to or leads to, just write it. And let's say at the end of the prayer meeting, let's see how many verses you have. You see? Yes. Do you see how many verses you have in that one prayer meeting? A focus, a strong focus on the word of God. Because that's what this is about. We are children of God, not children of a church or anything like that. We are children of God. God's word must be paramount.
Amen.
And I love being in a church where his word is celebrated, his word is important, and his word is respected.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at the things that are coming from preaching. He said, to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. So where are the captives? The captives need preaching. Bring me the captives and I'll give them a podcast. Bring me the captives, I'll tell them to meet me in church on Sunday. Bring me, show me the captives, and I'll tell them, have your quiet time.
Scripture on screen.
Do you see? I'll tell them, have your daily quiet time. Yes, the captives, and I'll tell them, have your daily quiet time. Are you understanding it?
You're preaching.
Yes.
You're preaching.
And it goes on to say, and the recovering of sight to the blind. Right? There's recovery of sight to the blind from exposure to the Word of God. Recovering of sight to the blind. And then to set at liberty them that are bruised. Do you see? This is all what you get from the Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. So a preacher may be the source of some of it. A preacher may be the source of some level of it. But I tell you, there's a lot that you can do for yourself. There's a lot that you can do for yourself by your personal encounter with the Word. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Wave your hand if you can understand
the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Look finally at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And Psalm 107 and from verse 20. Maybe we can go back a little bit. Psalm 107 and we can read from verse 17. 107 and from verse 17. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Right? Yes. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. This problem, this verse is showing us the source of many problems. And it's saying that a lot of our afflictions are because of our foolish acts. And our foolishness generates a lot of problems for us. Is that true or false?
Very true.
How many of us, show me everybody please, show me everybody please. Yes. How many of us can honestly identify afflictions you have endured because of your foolish ways? Raise up your hand, let me see. Yes. Problems you have that you know you brought on yourself. Yes. Reyes. Yeah. That's right. Good. God bless you for your honesty, and he will deliver you from it right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I hope you're understanding it. Now, it says in verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. Verse 18. Then verse 19, it says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saveth them out of their distresses. He saveth them out of their distresses. Then verse 20 occurs. It says, verse 20 shows us how he saveth them out of their distresses. Do you see? Yeah. He says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Give us another version. Give us New Living Translation. New Living Translation. It says, some were fools. Yeah, some... No, they... Yes, good. No, go back, all the way to 17. Some were fools in their rebellion. Some were fools in their rebellion. They suffered for their sins. Do you see? Yeah, they were fools in their rebellion. Their parents said, don't do this. They said, that's what we'll do. So you can't tell me what to do. That's what I'm going to do. Don't go with this person. No, I'll go with her or I'll go with him. That's who I like. Don't do this, that's what I'll do. Don't go here, that's what I'll do. And so in their rebellion, they were being foolish. And now they are suffering for their sins. It says they suffered for their sins. Now verse 18 says, they couldn't stand the thought of food. Do you see? Their appetites were gone. And death was near. Do you see? Yes. Have you ever been in a situation, it's so bad you don't want to eat? You don't feel like eating? Yes. Sometimes the way they know something, there's something wrong with you is the way you're not eating. Your decision not to eat anything or how little you ate tonight, it tells everyone there's something wrong with you because, you know, they know you.
Yeah.
They are familiar with your giftedness, you see. And so as there is a lack of manifestation tonight, it's raising questions. So it says they couldn't stand the thought of food and they were knocking on death's door. Right. Verse 19, Lord help, they cried in their trouble. Lord help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distresses. He saved them from their distresses. Okay. Then in verse 20, we are shown how he saved them. It says, he sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. God heals people by sending out a word to them. God heals people by sending out a word to them.
Amen.
And that word, that word may come through a messenger. That word may come to you directly. God may speak to you directly, especially in your private moments with him. As you spend time with the Lord, expect him to speak to you. Expect him to send you a word of encouragement, to send you a word that heals you, to send you a word that fixes your thinking. Do you see? A word that changes your mind, a word that changes your heart. Your heart towards people, your heart towards certain people, your heart towards your spouse, your heart towards your parents, your heart towards your siblings, your heart towards people who have hurt you. God can send a word that would change that. It will heal something inside you. His word is capable Amen. Like that.
Amen.
His word is powerful like that. His word can do things like that. It will change you. It will change you. It will fix you. It will fix your thinking. It will make you capable of loving again. It's because some of us, we've been dried up. We've been locked up. We are like a tap that is decommissioned, you know.
Yes.
They sealed it. No more water flowing out of this. It's dry. Because the things we've seen, the things we've experienced, what people have done to us, the way we've been cheated by people, mistreated by people, maltreated by people. We don't believe people anymore. We just don't believe anybody anymore. We can't trust. We can't love. But we still have a desire to be loved. Do you see? So you find people engaging love when they have no love in themselves to reciprocate what they are asking for. And sometimes this is only when people have connected and have become committed to such people that they find out who they really were. But God is able to heal that hardness. Yes. God is able to heal that callousness. God is able to make your heart tender again. God will heal you. He'll restore faith. He'll restore hope. Do you see? He'll restore hope in your future. He'll restore faith in him and faith in life. He will make life worth living again. Yes, you no longer want or wish you were dead. God will restore all of that. God will do it. God will do it. God will do it. How will he do it? He will send you a word. He will send you a word. God will send you a word. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. May God heal you tonight through the word that has come to you. May God, may God heal your lack of Bible reading tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, may God heal that. May God heal that. May God cure that handicap.
Amen.
That thing that you have lived with and continue to live with all your life, may God take it away from you, finally.
Amen.
Through the preaching and teaching of his word, God will take it away in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to bow your heads with me. Bow your heads with me, everybody. Amen. Bow your heads with me, everybody. And let's take a moment to pray. Everybody take a moment to pray concerning this message you just heard, and ask the Lord. You know exactly how this message applies to you. I want you to pray and just talk to God and say, Lord, Lord, please, in the name of Jesus. Talk to God and say, God, tonight I want you to fix me. Tonight I want you to fix me. I need you to fix me in the name of Jesus. Yes, everybody pray. Everybody pray. It's okay if we have loud, confused noise on the screen. That's okay. But I just want to see everybody. I want to hear everybody pray. Just pray. Yes. Feel free to unmute yourself. Just pray. Yes. Thank you, Lord. my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be, refine as fire, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master. I'm ready to do your will, Lord. I'm ready to do your will. Sing with me, everybody, right there in your home. Just tell the Lord, I'm ready to do your will. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready to do. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I'm ready to do your will. Yes, I'm ready. Spend time with you. I'm ready to do. You're calling me to come closer to you, and I'm ready to do your will. I'm ready to do. I'm ready to do your will. Thank you, Jesus. Now, tonight, if you're watching or you're joining us on Zoom, but you know in your heart that you're not saved, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. And I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus. Everybody joining us, we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart.
That you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And you want me to come close to you, Jesus.
And you want me to come close to you, Jesus.
But my sins have separated me from you.
But my sins have separated me from you, Lord.
So, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Let your blood wash me, Lord.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me, Lord.
Let your blood cleanse me, Lord.
And make me a child of God.
And lead me, child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
I want to be close to you.
I want to be close to you.
I want to be close to you, Jesus.
I want to be close to you, Jesus.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Oh, Jesus, help me know you are near. I want, oh, you're all I've ever needed. You're all I will ever want. So help me know you are near. Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for this great time in your presence. We pray, Lord, that we'll be doers of the word and not hearers only. And like the scripture said in James, this is a message for obeying, not just for hearing. And I pray that we will all be obeying sheep and obeying flock to hear. Not only to hear, but to hear and to obey. I pray for a special grace for spending time with you. Yes, I pray for grace for quiet times. Yes, grace for real private times with you, Lord. Times when you speak to us. Times when you tell us you love us. Times when you assure us, times when you fix us and put us back together again, Lord. We long for such times with you, and we pray that you give us grace to live and to practice such times. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. Well, why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? Clap for Jesus wherever you are.
What a word. What a preacher.